Welcome back to 91.9 The Cave. This is your host, Brody Verton, usually doing a Wednesday blues show this afternoon, but this week we're going to be talking about some of the connections between obesity and poverty. So to start us off, we had a great tune by James Brown to celebrate that sort of bluesy thing, just because I felt like throwing that in there, called Get Up Off That Thing. Great track among many others. For the rest of this show, there's going to be lots of me talking about this issue, and there's still going to be music in there, Kingston. So I've put some great sort of upbeat sort of songs that get us thinking and moving anyway. So I guess we want to get into the idea of moving, celebrating this beautiful weather that we have out there today anyways, Kingston. So but in all seriousness, obesity is definitely an extremely prevalent health issue, and there's no getting away from that. And as well, the health issue is expected to surpass smoking as being the leading cause of preventable death. Since 1980, obesity rates have increased drastically, three times or more worldwide. Another point concerning the issue is that Canadian obesity rates represent a health payload of $3.96 billion from the Canadian economy. Speaking from a North American perspective, as of 2008, 37% of Canadians qualified as overweight, while 25% were obese. That's compared to 39% Americans. Anyways, recently the obesity epidemic is constantly features, you know, in news stories across North America and Canada and America as well. And the issue sort of becomes one-sided, with obesity and its coincided illnesses disproportionately seeming to affect the low-income areas and low-income families. In Brooklyn, for instance, the rate of heart attack among adults 35 years or older is... in East New York, is twice the rate in wealthier Brooklyn Heights. The link between poverty and obesity is strongly connected to, definitely connected to the high cost of nutritious food, for one. For one, it's more expensive to eat better. To consume, I guess, let's say 2,000 calories of fresh and healthy food will cost much more than 2,000 calories of highly processed and fattening foods. Lack of nutritional education and lack of time associated with preparing nutritious foods is definitely necessary to factor in to the link between obesity and poverty, as low-income families are typically working more, taking time out of being able to prepare wonderful, nutritious dinners. The site of a heavily accessible food market, North Americans could almost qualify as malnourished, as quite a large percentage of our diet relies on fast food, fatty foods, and unaffordable, nutritious diets seem a far reach. Fortunately, there is good news as this. As of today, there are 400-plus Canadian initiatives, including fresh cooperative vegetable gardens accessible across B.C., to the generic public and especially low-income households. So, Kingston, I mean, those are the stats, and I mean, we need to sort of think about this issue, because it's definitely becoming worse. So, anyways, we'll get a little bit more music going here. Up next, we have a few more tunes that I sort of brought in from my favorite workout playlist, and a bunch of those to get us in the mood. So keep it locked right here with your host, Brody Verton, on 91.9 The Cave. We'll be right back. Welcome back, Kingston. This is your host, Brody Verton, on your documentary. I'm doing my documentary this afternoon. We just had Arctic Monkeys with I Bet You Look Good on the Dance Floor. Before that, Metric with Dead Disco. Today, the music that's being played is surrounding, sort of related to sort of getting out and exercising, I suppose, because today we're talking about the obesity epidemic and its relations to poverty. So we were just talking about sort of the issues between obesity and poverty to start off with, about malnourished nutritional education, lack of stuff like that. So next up, I want to talk to you about some of the costs, some of the costs of healthy and fit lifestyles that would be not affordable for low-income families. So for a the cost of a healthy and fit lifestyle, sports seems almost completely unaffordable by a family living in poverty. Even up to middle class families nowadays are more likely to fork out the hundreds of dollars that it would take to afford an Xbox, I suppose, or any sort of entertainment systems that promote sort of an unactive lifestyle. Of course, according to Canadian Tire Jump Start Youth Activity Programs, one in three families are unable to afford a Canadian sports lifestyle for their youth. The one in three children who cannot afford sports are also more likely to experience health issues related to the obesity, of course. So, also, reasonably coming from the perspective of the average Canadian family, adults just don't have time to realistically be able to prepare 60 minutes of physical activity required to live a healthy lifestyle for not only themselves, but as well, but their children as well. Another point is that guardians are more likely to be working the long hours to support the families, of course. A prime example of issues similar is a fairly famous case, is hockey star PK Subban, who has two older brothers, I believe. Oh, I'm not sure if they're older or younger. It doesn't matter. But has he has two brothers, and his father had to put all three of them through the leagues as youth, who now play as high-level professional hockey players. Of course, PK Subban is on the Montreal Canadiens, is the most famous case right now, anyways, because of the playoffs. But this example of their youth growing up costs their father $5,000 a year just per child. So that would be a lot more, which is not including the gears or trips, anyways. So, of course, reasonably, the average Canadian family is not necessarily strung into a life of professional athleticism, but I suppose it helps to put perspective on the issue from on the cost of physical activity in a regular household. I think I said that as well. But anyways, so I guess we're going to keep going. We have a few more tunes to get us through the hour. Of course, we're talking about the obesity versus poverty issue and how they're linked together. But next up, we have a couple more songs that are on my personal workout playlist, and I hope you enjoy them, Kingston. So keep it locked right here with Brody Verton on this hour of music and talking. Thank you for listening, Kingston.
Doesn't matter. bicycle, bicycle. I want to ride my bicycle, bicycle, bicycle. I want to ride my bicycle. I want to ride my bike. I want to ride my bicycle. I want to ride it where I like. You say black, I say white. You say bar, I say bite. You say shark, I say him. And George was never my scene, and I don't like Star Wars. You say Rose, I say Royce. You say God, give me a choice. Say Lord, I say Christ. I don't believe in Peter Pan, Frankenstein, or Superman.
Thank you.
Welcome back, Kingston. This is your host, Brody Verton, on your documentary hour this Wednesday. We just had Yamantaka with Yoshi Neko, The Strokes with Reptilia before that, and Soundgarden was Super Unknown to start off. The theme of the music today is going to be sort of around my documentary. It's sort of songs that are either relative to getting active or sort of something that would be great to work out to. A lot of these songs are in my workout playlists, go for a run, anything like that. It's a beautiful day, Kingston. It would be a wonderful time to be out there. So today we're talking, of course, about obesity and its coinciding issues. We talked about obesity and poverty as well. Here are just some stats about children, stats associated with children, obesity rates, and low-income families and higher-income families, stuff like that. So specifically related to child obesity rates in our nation. As of 2008, Statistics Canada has reported over a total of 29% of youth were overweight. That's a big number, but we're apparently going to be as bad as the U.S., which I'll talk about the numbers for that in just a second, just so we can sort of see where North America is and why we call it the obesity epidemic, because it is a rising health concern. More specifically, the study that was aimed directly directly at children and who are in lower income families and versus higher income families versus medium. So the survey was entitled the NLSCY. It was conducted in 1994. There has been a couple that aren't able to be released to the public as of 2009 and 10. They'll be released soon, I believe. I did some research on that. So as of 1990s, the NLSCY, which is the National Longitudinal Survey of Children and Youth, by the way, which is Canadian, conducted a nationwide survey, some of which did represent the correlation between low-income families and higher-income families. This portion of the study reported that out of all Canadian children, poorer youth were 20% obese overall, with youth living in higher income families receiving about 15% of them being obese, which is a big difference. It's 5%, obviously. But realistically, the children that live in a lower income family are more disadvantaged, of course, obviously, because based on the arguments, this means that they will struggle with nutritional food, of course, physical activity, because these things are not just not as accessible to families receiving lower incomes, which reflects on their health as well. So I've got an article right here concerning Canadian obesity rates. A surprising find that Canadian obesity rates have tripled in the last 30 years. Apparently, Newfoundland and New Brunswick have the highest rates of obesity, while rates are lower in Western provinces. So apparently, they have tripled, like I said, between 1985 and 2011 when this article was released, according to a study from Emory University in St. John's. Of course, the highest rates of obesity, perfect place to. So Dr. L.K. Twells had analyzed national, provincial data from a number of Canada Health surveys, like the one I mentioned, stuff like that. There's a few other ones conducted in that time period. Her findings published by the Canadian CMAJ, Canadian Medical Association Journal, projects that about 21% of Canadian adults will be obese by 2019. More alarming is the assertion by Twells, this is the article, is directly quoted from the article, by Twells and her team that health survey collect information on heights and weights that are recorded by individuals. Of course, many people tend to underreport, and therefore predictions of Canadians' body mass index, of course, the BMI, are likely an underestimation. Obesity defined as a BMI of 30 or higher, by the way. Next up, we have some stats right here on America, just so we have a standpoint of how big the issue is turning into, not just in Canada, but through North America. So this is data from the U.S., taken from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention site. Apparently, the percentage of adults age 20 and over who are obese is 35.9%, so a significantly higher rate of 2009 and 10, though we are suggesting that the data is suggesting otherwise, that we will be catching up to them as of 2019. Percentage of adults who are age 20 years and over who are overweight, including obesity, is a ridiculous number, is 69.2% 2009 and 10. Of course, in reference to youth, age 12 to 19 is 18.4%. Percent of children age 6 to 11, 18%. That's very on par of the 1994 studies. We are similar in that respect. And apparently the percent of children who are aged 2 to 5 is a 12% obesity rate. So this is definitely, obviously, an issue. We see it all over the news all the time. So, you know, I'm trying to definitely, as much as I can, promote some healthy activity. So I've got this playlist, like I've mentioned a number of times through the documentary, saying that all the music is taken directly from playlists online suggested, as well as some of my own workout music. So I guess I've talked for quite a fair bit. I think it's time we get back into some more good music here. We are going to have up some the Felix the House Cat and Cinnamon and V&V Nation with the Chaliate. And we're almost coming to the end of our show. So keep it locked right here with your host, Brody Verton, on 91.9 The Cave. Thank you, Kingston.
We'll be right back.
Welcome back, Kingston. This is your host, Brody Verton, and I'm taking you through a full hour of documentary and music that's related to working out, because we're doing the topic of obesity and its related issues, stats on Canadian obesity, the rising epidemic, all sorts of stuff. Lots of scary stats, really. But I suppose I'm just going to tell you guys what we just had anyway. So we had VNV Nation with Retaliate, and to start things off, we had Nina Simone and Felix the House Cat. We've only got a few minutes left, so I'm just going to conclude what I'm saying and add one more thing, and that's everything for my show today. So with all these scary stats, there is some good news. It's that even though the ties between obesity, its related issues seem to be getting increasingly looming, these issues have begun to be recognized and addressed with programs like Canadian Tire's Jumpstart Campaign, which is a program that is aimed at reducing and assisting with costs associated with enrollment and equipment for sports. Definitely a great organization. As well, programs like BC-based Screen Smart, which tries to increase awareness among young students as well as families about the amount of time the children spend in front of their screens. In Chicago, students themselves have actually fought against poor nutrition and have even fought back against poor school lunches with petitions and blogs that support ideas of installing vegetable gardens that are just accessible for students and those who can't afford a good meal. These are just examples of about 400 nationwide initiatives that are recognized as an innovative practice. Innovative practice to help kids with inactivity. Although we have definitely a very far distance to go, the struggle of obesity as a whole, addressing that obesity is connected to many factors, including poverty, will help us understand and fight back the illness. So saying that, though, I do have one more thing to say, is that researchers from the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill have found that fast food consumption is directly associated with the location of fast food restaurants, particularly among low-income neighborhoods. You can see that even through Kingston, realistically, through most major cities. The research was published in the Archives of Internal Medicine, found that the closer fast food restaurants are to low-income neighborhoods, the more fast food was actually consumed in that area. So which leads to more profitable companies and poorer neighborhoods, of course. This research confirms what many have suspected, of course, the obvious, that fast food may well be targeted, of course, to low-income families. Today's conventional fast food typically consists primarily of fried foods, of course, fatty animal foods, and just overall just poor diet to try and support yourself, especially if it's cheap and it might be some people's only option. So we got some good news and lots of bad news. But anyways, this is your host, Brody Verton, and I just talked to you guys, of course, about the issues surrounding obesity. And I thank you very much for listening to me, Kingston. And I wish you all a beautiful week and weekend. And up next we have Sam with her daily special show. So I want to thank you very much, Kingston, for listening. Next up, we have one last tune that's on my playlist, anyways, for exercising. It is Dashboard by Modest Mouse. So keep it locked right here with 91.9 The Cave. Thank you for listening, Kingston.